Who has the right plan for Iraq, President Bush or the Democrats in Congress? Good morning. I'm Joy Cardine on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. It's 10 minutes past 7 o'clock on this Tuesday, April the 24th. Congress is poised to send a bill to the president that would fund the war in Iraq, but would also set a goal of withdrawing U.S. troops by the spring of 2008. President Bush, once again yesterday, vowed to veto any bill that contains a timeline. This hour, I'll welcome in a political science professor to talk about this current debate and where it's headed, and we wonder what you think. What side of this issue are you on? Is Congress trying to micromanage the war, as President Bush charged again yesterday, or is President Bush in a state of denial, as Senate Majority Leader Harry Reid said yesterday? 1-800-642-1234, 1-800-642-1234, toll-free from anywhere, in Madison, 263-1890, 263-1890. You can also send us an email to talk@wpr.org. Please include your first name and your community with your email. We are joined by Joe Heim, professor of political science at UW-La Crosse. Good morning.
Good morning, Joy.
So here we go again this week.
Yeah, it looks like this act is being played out. It's a classical confrontation of a constitutional nature, something we haven't seen in quite some time.
Yeah, all right. So the president once again vowed to veto this bill yesterday. He had made a special statement on Iraq, and then Harry Reid said moments after that Congress will soon pass the Iraq war spending bill that calls for a withdrawal of U.S. troops to start by October 1st. So why is the Congress insisting on sending the president this bill when they know that the president will veto it?
I think Congress is, the Democratic majority in Congress, is reasserting its traditional role as a check on the executive branch. I think they've looked at the Constitution, they've looked at their rights and powers, and I think they've recognized that over the last 6 years, Congress has not been playing a particularly strong role in foreign affairs, and I think they've decided to do this. They're also reflecting, I think, public opinion in a general sense. The public has turned against the war and seems to be increasingly unhappy with the direction of the war. And I think Congress, as a Democratic Congress, they're reflecting the values and the beliefs of at least some of their supporters from last fall.
Yeah, certainly it seems the American public is unhappy with what's going on in Iraq and overall wants the U.S. to be out of Iraq. But do we know specifically what, the public wants this immediate withdrawal by October and to tie this timeline onto this funding bill? Or are we more divided over exactly what to do exactly when?
Nothing's ever, 100% Joy, but I saw a poll the other day that indicated about 60% of the public favors a firm withdrawal timetable of some sort. And I think the question I saw was for late 2008. I don't think the public in general cares particularly about what particular date we're talking about or how fast or how slow. But in general, I think the public favors some kind of an exit strategy.
So then is President Bush in a state of denial, as Harry Reid said yesterday?
Well, you could argue that, and I think Harry Reid, I thought, was upping the stakes the last several days, talking about the fact that the war is lost.
Mm-hmm.
Used some pretty strong language about incompetence of the president, dishonesty, no longer a blind eye to the administration. He was certainly setting up a negotiating stance with the president, anticipating that this is going to be tough negotiations. I thought that the House and the Senate got together very quickly. I was surprised how quick this was. I listening to the news this morning, and what seems to have happened is they have agreed on an up timetable. Both of them had dates. Now we'll get into the specifics of this, but they both had dates in 2008. One of them, for example, in the Senate, was a non-binding goal of starting to remove the troops and having them all out. This is all obviously facing, and the assumption was going to be on both houses that the troops would either be out or on the way out by election in 2008. They seem to have moved those dates up a bit. without knowing the details, of course, but they, I think I heard in the news this morning, October 1st of this year, a start withdrawal with all troops out within 6 months. So clearly they have moved this up, I think anticipating the veto and anticipating the negotiating stance that they can then move those dates perhaps and compromise back to perhaps where they were before.
Yeah, that, what I have here is that the legislation will be approved within days. It includes the goal of completing the pullout by April of next year, but the withdrawal of U.S. troops to begin by October 1st. So we will check our weather, and then we'll continue talking with Joe Heim, professor of political science at UW La Crosse, about the showdown that is on the way between President Bush and congressional Democrats, headed for a showdown over funding for the Iraq War. President Bush is promising a veto if Congress sends him a bill that funds the war in Iraq with U.S. troop withdrawal, which is exactly what Congress is going to do. 1-800-642-1234 in Madison, 263-1890. We welcome your questions and comments for our guest. We welcome your views on what side of this issue are you on? And we'll also talk with Professor Heim about what this political debate is going to mean in terms of U.S. involvement in the war in Iraq and the future of the war in Iraq. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network. You're listening to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Joy Cardine. Good to have you along. Hope you stay tuned. It's Ben Marins this afternoon between 4 and 6 talking about current issues of the day. We're talking with Joe Heim, professor of political science at UW La Crosse, talking about President Bush and congressional Democrats and their showdown over this bill that would provide funding for the war in Iraq. However, it will also contain a timetable for withdrawal of troops from Iraq. And President Bush said yesterday he will veto any bill that contains a timetable.
A artificial timetable of withdrawal would say to an enemy, just wait them out. It would say to the Iraqis, don't do hard things necessary to achieve our objectives, and it would be discouraging for our troops. And therefore, I will strongly reject a artificial timetable withdrawal.
1-800-642-1234 in Madison, 263-1890. Before we go to the phones, Professor Heim, what about those arguments that President Bush just laid out there? Does that resonate with the American people, do you think?
I don't know if the public fully understands that type of an approach. I don't deny that the president isn't correct. There are some... A pullout is going to have some negative implications to both the United States long term. I think, for example, we're going to be looking at this 5 or 10 years down the road and realizing that we're still going to be paying a price. Those of our listeners who were around in post-Vietnam era certainly fully recognize that a failed war strategy has serious implications long term. On the other hand, you know, you look at the insurgents and you look at the Iraq government, who clearly both of these can play certain strategies based on some kind of a fixed withdrawal, none of which looks particularly good for either Iraq or the United States.
Yeah, so Congress this week, it looks like they'll send him this bill that he's going to veto, and then what?
Well, I think then they're going to have to sit down. The president has talked about the fact that the troops need the support very quickly, that they're going to run out of money, they're going to run out of bullets. There's some indication that is eventually going to be true. But the Defense Department has the ability to move money around. And, for example, a year ago, almost under identical circumstances, the Republican Congress took into June to get this done. So there's at least a feeling that that June, if not later, the real deadline is in fact later than what the president portrays it as. He's been putting and upping the pressure on the Congress to move quickly on this, and if they don't, you know, they're not supporting the troops, and that does resonate to some degree with the public.
Go to the phones. Don in Oshkosh is with us first. Hi, Don. You're on the air.
Thank you. Just if you want to explore this, you're talking about the situation with facts and reason. Has anybody ever done an article about Bush's religious beliefs? I mean, he said he talked to a higher faith, and the faith must have said it was a good idea to go to war. If he pulls out, what does that do to his belief system and the people he supports him?
I think the president clearly believes he's right. Mm-hmm. He has more or less said that he believes he'll be vindicated by history. I don't know if this is so much a belief system as it is simply a confidence in his own judgment.
Yeah. Thank you very much, Don, for the call. Tim and Delavan, hi, you're on the air.
Hi. I think I bring a little bit of an interesting perspective. I've got a 20-year-old son who's home for his two-week leave. He got called up after a year of college, and in my conversations with him this last week, he tells me that he feels that things are becoming more positive there and working with the Iraqis, which he's had personal contact with. Naturally, as parents, we'd love to have him home sooner and out of harm's way, but, at the same time, I think most of the troops there feel like, they would like to make sure that they leave the country in a viable situation. What I wanted to ask the professor about is what I always find interesting about these polls is, 60% of the Americans, believe one thing, and that's what we're told and the way things are swaying. But the other part of those polls or the facts are apparently that, about half the population votes, and then that's split 50-50. So, sometimes these polls things I just think are kind of ridiculous. The U.S. population as general and in general terms is pretty fickle on a lot of things, and we have 5 and 10 minute time memories on stuff, and it's not as easy as just a 60% poll thing would indicate. I'd like to have the professor comment on just the general state of public's swaying, twisting in the wind on almost any issue, whatever it may be.
Yeah, and Tim, but before you go on, I'm going to have Professor Heim talk about the poll situation. You mentioned that your son, you would like to have him home sooner rather than later, but your son wants to make sure that he leaves the country in a strong, stable situation. Is that what you said?
Yeah. He's gotten to be friends with, they work, hand in hand with some of the Iraqis. And, one of his comments I thought was interesting. He said, most of the Iraqis that he met say they're, they're Iraqis first, and then they get into their religious stuff. It's like a lot of Americans here. The polarization of religious both sides or the other. He says, I think it's all the same true there. Vast majority of the people in Iraq just want to go on living.
Yeah.
They aren't zealots about one side of the political spectrum or the other. They just, and that isn't a lot unlike most Americans.
Yeah, I'd also, then, Tim, what do you think when you hear Harry Reid say the war in Iraq is lost?
I think no matter which side of the spectrum we're on, politicians are politicians. Let's just admit that. Both sides of the party, they're always dancing for the next election. And that's what gets frustrating about politics in general. That's what it is. That's what they do. They don't have strong beliefs as we think sometimes. It's always, some handler telling them, well, here's the position you got to take for the next election.
Yeah.
And that's true with both parties, I think.
Yeah, and you and your son believe that there is a hope that some sort of victory can be managed in Iraq.
Well, what's the definition of victory? Trying to leave the country stable so they can carry on. Yeah, I guess if that's the case, he's lost friends over there. If you want to feel like you did something of value, you want to leave it, because they've gotten to be friends with a lot of the Iraqis too. They want to leave them so they can carry on a decent life over there.
Yeah, Tim, thank you very much for your perspective, Professor Heim. You want to talk about all that?
Yeah, two things. Polls are always interesting. I do polls, so I have a pretty good idea of what you can and can't get away with. Talking about a war, and particularly strategy, and the fact is the public is fairly fickle about these things. If we had some type of a terrorist attack tomorrow, you'd see the polls dramatically shift. And even if the war seems to be, statistically seems to be turning in the right direction, I think you'd see the polls switch. But the reality is, the public is unhappy with the war in general, specifically because this has gone on so long, they're unhappy with the strategy. Whatever the strategy is, I'm not sure the public fully understands that. The question that Kim mentioned is whether or not is a strategy working. That right now seems to be a mixed bag. The surge strategy. It's clear. The one thing that's clear is that this is going to take longer than anybody expected. But I think the reality is politicians, both parties, are looking towards the next election. That, in essence, is what differentiates the president from Congress in this regard. Congress is looking, both Democrats and Republicans, are looking at November of 2008. The presidential candidates are looking in that direction. They don't want to be on the wrong side of this thing if something happens. The president, on the other hand, is clearly focusing on his objective, and basically that's to at least get out of this with some kind of a stable situation or perhaps pass this on to the next president. But he doesn't have to worry about the next election, and the degree that he's concerned about anything might be his own legacy.
Yeah. Now, Tim said his son thought progress was being made in Iraq, and we hear differing accounts of that. I mean, in the news this morning, 10 U.S. troops killed in a bombing yesterday, deadliest attack on American ground forces since December of 2005. As long as we keep hearing news like this, we're not thinking things are going very well.
I think it depends on what press, what stories they want to promote, basically. For example, there's Baghdad seems to be more pacified to some degree in recent months or recent weeks. On the other hand, some of the other areas, violence is going up dramatically. It's pretty clear that the other sides, and I'll say plural, can change their strategy and simply lay back for a while and hope that things move in the right direction and wait for things to change.
This might be a rhetorical question for you, Professor Heim, but we got an email from Ed in Marshfield who wonders, what's worse, micromanagement or mismanagement?
That's a good question. Yeah, that's a rhetorical question.
Josh in La Crosse. Hi, Josh, you're on the air.
Morning, Joe. I'm a big fan of your show. Thank you for taking my call.
Hi, Josh.
Morning. I served in Iraq for 15 months with the 82nd Airborne in between 03 and 04, so I'm sure things have changed a little bit since I was there. But my sister is currently a member of the U.S. State Department on the ground in the Green Zone in Baghdad. A couple points that I want to make. First of all, I think it's about time that Congress does something to hold the president accountable. They can no longer just start handing over money like they used to, especially because my understanding is that this is a supplemental bill to the DOD budget, which is already enormous in its own right. So if they're just handing out extra money, I think there should be some provision or some sort of timetable that that goes along with it. The president said that he won't attach an arbitrary date to anything. What if the arbitrary date was in 10 years, 100 years? That's an arbitrary date. He wouldn't bring home troops by then. That doesn't make much sense. So I understand that things on the ground are fluid and changing. Last time I talked to my sister last week, she said that the State Department has teams that go out and work on reconstruction, but because the situation on the ground is so unsafe and unstable, a lot of those teams aren't even going out into the public. They're not doing anything. Yeah. And when I was there, there was a lot of soldiers that didn't leave the mega bases that that they were on. And so the situation in Iraq is not a good one, and I think it's about time that Congress started using their power and flexing their muscle, especially if their muscle is the power of the purse.
Thank you very much, Josh. We're at news time, so I wish we could talk more with you. I appreciate the call. We will get Professor Heim's reaction to your comments after the news. This is the Ideas Network. You're listening to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Good morning. I'm Joy Cardine. It's 7:36 on this Tuesday, April the 24th, talking with Joe Heim this hour, professor of political science at UW La Crosse. He's talking with us about the showdown this week between Congress and President Bush over that funding bill for the war in Iraq that will include a timetable for troop withdrawal. Harry Reid, the Senate's majority leader, says that Congress will soon pass this bill within days, he says, and it will include a withdrawal of U.S. troops to start by October 1st and completing the pullout by April of next year. President Bush yesterday said that he will veto this bill if it includes what he calls an artificial timetable. And we're talking about the politics of all this and the implications of all this. Where do we go from here? 1-800-642-1234 in Madison, 263-1890. We heard from a caller just before news time, Josh in La Crosse, who served in Iraq, and I think he said his sister is currently serving in Iraq right now. He thinks that Congress is doing the right thing, that it's time for Congress to exert its muscle, especially when it comes to the power of the purse. And I wonder, Professor Heim, if you have any reactions to his comments.
Well, I think it's always interesting hearing anecdotal stories about Iraq, because that's, you know, we're never sure if we're really getting the whole picture listening to various media. And frankly, we're never sure whether the media is getting out into Iraq enough to really know what's going on. General Petraeus, by the way, is supposed to be in Congress tomorrow to tell Congress what hopefully is really going on.
Mm-hmm.
But in general, unstable is certainly a reasonable word. And Congress are reasserting its authority. Frankly, I applaud that. Congress has, for the last 6 years, done too much rubber stamping of this stuff. President Bush has to recognize that Congress does, in fact, play a role in this type of stuff. He may be the commander-in-chief, but the Congress basically pays for wars, and he has to learn to deal with that. And I think, frankly, in the next month, that's probably going to take quite a while to come up with a compromise, but I strangely enough will predict, Joy, that they will compromise on something. It's a, you could perhaps even guess that this is going to have benchmarks involved in it. It will have some dates of some sort, perhaps starting a withdrawal. But I kind of bet that there won't be an end date when, say, October 1st, 2008, where they'll all be out. I just don't think that'll happen.
Yeah. What about Harry Reid signing on with Russ Feingold with the defunding the war resolution?
I think Harry Reid's reflecting his own, you know, he's the leader of the Democrats in the Senate, and I think he's reflecting the anti-war group in his own party, and clearly moving in that direction. But he's also recognizing that he's laying out a certain stance. He's reflecting the views of the public as they, as Congress sees it from last fall. Was there a mandate in this? Clearly, the public was unhappy, but there wasn't a mandate in a sense in an exact, you know, strategy in terms of what Congress should be doing. I think Harry Reid, however, is laying out a position for negotiation, and essentially attempting to move the president closer to their position down the road. And the president obviously is resisting that as much as possible.
Yeah. So you're predicting, though, this compromise that may not have a specific timetable but benchmarks, and not that the Democrats will defund the war.
I don't think the Democrats want to be in a position of defunding the war. That would be appear to be undermining the troops. And frankly, even though you may or may not like the surge strategy, it's the only thing out there right now. And if it appears as if Congress is undermining that, then the Democrats could get the blame. If something really bad happens, the president can say, well, they did it. You know, who lost Iraq? You know, somewhere down the road, we're going to be answering that question. And right now, it's the president, or at least his administration. The Democrats don't want to be labeled that way.
Thanks again to Josh for the call. Greg in Milwaukee is next. Hi, Greg, you're on the air.
I think it's remarkable that it hasn't been noted that Bush is arguing that Congress should not micromanage the commanders. Well, the commanders are under the control of the commander-in-chief. That's Bush, and he's subject to balance by the powers of Congress to control the purse, and he's just passing the buck.
Well, I think this is the president's approach to this. He's trying to make the Democrats look like they're running the war, at least telling the generals what to do, trying to interfere politically. You know, he's trying to blame them essentially for being political decision makers instead of military. On the other hand, Congress has a right to do certain elements of that. By paying for the war, doesn't necessarily mean they have to just hand the money over and stand back.
Thanks very much, Greg, for the call. We will go now to Jim in River Falls. Hi, Jim, you're on the air.
Good morning. You spoke earlier about the polls regarding the American stance on the war, but I'm looking at the polls that were done a long time ago that showed 80% of the Iraqis wanted the U.S. out, and we even have Prime Minister or President al-Maliki, you know, talking about the U.S. forces leaving. So if Harry Reid is, you know, kind of on the side of what the American people want, what the Iraqi people want, who is George Bush representing? What side of the argument is he representing other than just his own? Would be my question.
Hmm? Well, I think the polls certainly seem to be, and both Iraq and the United States reflect, a desire for the United States to be out. The president, however, is playing the role of commander-in-chief. He's trying to do what he thinks is best for the country. I'm not going to argue that he's got some kind of evil motives here of some sort, but I believe he really thinks that he's doing the right thing for the country.
Yeah, isn't the argument for not withdrawing while the country is still unstable? The argument that the president has talked about before was that this could escalate into more violence, regional violence, and you don't want a huge regional war in the Middle East.
It's clear that if we withdrew tomorrow, mm-hmm. that this would probably disintegrate into a major civil war, the likes of which I suspect the Iraqis mm-hmm. even wouldn't want to see. But essentially, I think the public in the United States, this has been a 4-plus-year war. The public clearly reflects a lack of confidence in the strategy and the competence of the administration in carrying this war out. Clearly, the Iraqis are not happy with the way we've been carrying this out as well. The public is not patient. You could argue that logically you should not have a deadline. The other side could take advantage of it. But the reality is, in democracy, you have to pay attention to the public. American public has lost confidence and, frankly, is not very patient at this stage.
Thanks to Jim. Dan in Reedstown. Hi, you're on the air.
Hi, how are you?
Good.
Hey, Dan.
Quick question. I wanted to look forward a little bit more instead of focusing on Iraq. And if the situation proceeds, and let's say whether or not President Bush vetoes this or not, let's say it's overridden and it becomes law, does this kind of maneuver, this kind of act, change the relationship long-term between Congress and the president in terms of war-making powers? And as a secondary question, does it make any difference constitutionally or in the long term as to whether it's a defunding, which Congress clearly has the authority to do, versus a timeline, which seems to be more the war-making power, which Congress may not have the ability, or doesn't seem to have the ability under the Constitution to do? And I'm getting a little feedback, so I'm going to listen off the air.
All right, thanks, Dan. Good questions.
I think the defunding and timeline are actually fairly similar. They're just a different way of looking at it. For Congress to has a legal right to the power of the purse to provide for the common defense, but they do in fact control the money in situations like that, and they can in fact dictate to some degree. History will say that Congress at various times has reasserted its authority in the foreign policy area. The one issue, for example, that I thought Congress many years ago after Vietnam attempted to essentially interject itself into that war, they passed something called the War Powers Act, which I wondered if the Congress was going to try to reuse that act, but my understanding is that Congress is not interested in it, and it may, in fact, have some questionable legal basis. But it was Congress's attempt to essentially defund the war in Vietnam. I don't think, by the way, and I think part of the whole approach to what the Congress is doing right now is a recognition that they cannot override the veto. So by not being able to do that, they can put almost anything into this thing because it's not going to happen. They're basically going to be playing to certain groups of people, the groups that support them, and saying, well, we tried, and this is the best we could do in a balanced system.
Yeah, how come they can't override the veto?
They need a substantial number of Republicans. At this point, the president seems to have rallied the Republicans behind him on this issue. And it looks like very few Republicans are going to be jumping sides on this. Mm. The early votes seem to reflect that.
That's not a popular position for the Republicans in Congress either, is it?
No, that's their risk. Mm. I think they're willing to give the president 6 to 9 months on this, but I think they're also going to start jumping ship if this isn't looking good in 6 to 9 months, because many of them are up for election next November, a year from November.
We're talking with Joe Heim, professor of political science at UW-La Crosse, about the showdown, the political showdown over the war in Iraq between congressional Democrats and President Bush. Harry Reid, Senate Majority Leader Harry Reid, says Congress will pass an Iraq war spending bill that calls for a withdrawal of U.S. troops to start by October 1st. It includes a goal of completing the troop pullout by April of next year. Reid's comments came just hours after President Bush renewed his vow to veto any measure that includes a troop withdrawal deadline. President Bush saying politicians should not try to interfere with what the military is doing. President Bush acknowledging that it's a tough time right now in Iraq, but insists that progress is being made. Harry Reid said that Bush was in a state of denial over the war. 1-800-642-1234 in Madison, 263-1890. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network. You're listening to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Joy Cardine. It's 12 minutes before 8 o'clock on this Tuesday, April the 24th. Coming up after 8, we'll talk about the ethics of global warming. Find out more about that after 8. By the way, tomorrow between the hours of 6 and 8, and also on Thursday between 6 and 8, we will be releasing the results of the Spring 2007 Wisconsin Public Radio St. Norbert College Survey Center poll. We do this public opinion poll every fall and every spring, teaming up with St. Norbert College, the survey center there. And tomorrow's topics between 6 and 7, we did ask about the war in Iraq, our current feelings in Wisconsin about the war in Iraq, and whether we support the tactics of what Congress is doing here in terms of putting a timeline in this bill, or if we support President Bush's strategy here, the surge. So we'll talk more about this type of issue between 6 and 7 tomorrow. Between 7 and 8 tomorrow, we will hear the results from the poll on who we like right now in terms of the leading presidential candidates on both the Democratic and Republican sides. So I hope you will be with us for those discussions tomorrow between 6 and 8. Back to the phones. Jim in Greenfield. Hi, you're on the air.
Hi, I admire the guest and host, and I oppose the Iraq War and Bush. Now, the guest said that congressional Democrats traditionally seek to restrain presidential power. I think that congressional Democrats and Republicans have been lousy at restraining presidents of their own parties, and I support political third parties. How about this restraint?
Thanks for the compliments, Jim. What do you think, Professor?
One of the problems I think we've had in recent years in Congress is, and this even is occurring in Wisconsin as well, legislators are members of a party first and members of the legislative branch second. I find that kind of disconcerting. In other words, if it's our president and our party, whatever it is, you know, we have to support the president regardless. For Wisconsin, that to have a veto override in, 20 years is kind of a sad commentary on the legislative process. So they don't do a particularly great job of restraining the executive and Congress, certainly. But I think what they're attempting to do here is to try to reassert this authority. And I think they have the public on their side on this. Their poll numbers seem to be going up, and the public seems to be satisfied, at least so far, with the general direction of the Democrats in Congress.
Thank you, Jim. Ed in Burlington. Hi, you're on the air.
Hi. I support Congress, and I do not support Bush. My son came from over there and also is a disabled veteran from the war. But who oversees the money that goes over there? Because when he was over there, the soldiers on the ground were not getting the proper equipment, the things that they needed anyways from all of this money. So I was just wondering, who oversees the money once it gets over there?
Yeah, I'm sorry to hear about your son. Ed, you say he was injured in the war in Iraq and is now disabled?
Yes, he is. He actually did 2 terms over there, and he told me himself that he doesn't think it's working over there. And for one thing, they're not really getting the things that they need on the ground. And don't get me wrong, I support the troops 100%. But, yeah. I mean, looking at the whole picture, Congress is going to, try to stop some money from getting over there, which in my opinion is a good thing to do, because I don't support Bush at all, and I'm longtime Republican that turned Democrat because of this last administration has just got me so upset anyways.
What about the money and the troops, Professor Heim? And Ed thinks they weren't getting the money they needed in the first place.
I am going to guess that within 5 to 10 years, we're going to see some major books. There's been a lot of them already, but somebody's going to do a definitive book on this, Joy, and it's not going to look good. I'm afraid that the scandals and the auditing, which are just beginning to start coming out. It always takes a couple of years for these things to happen, but the Government Accountability Office, an arm of Congress, is going to be doing more of this, and I frankly think we're going to be shocked by what goes on and the kind of waste that actually has occurred.
Yeah. Ed, thank you so much for the call, and again, sorry about your son. Greg in Milwaukee is next. Hi, Greg, you're on the air.
Hi, how are you?
Good.
Nice to take my call. I'm a former Marine. I was in Vietnam War. People call it a conflict. I call it a war. And I know what a war looks like. It's not pretty, and the American people don't see that part where body parts are getting blown apart. What I'm concerned about is that I read George Bush's father's book where he said there was no clear exit strategy. That's why he did not invade Iraq. And Bush said, well, he answered to a higher authority. And I think the American people have a very short memory on things. The Republicans put pressure to get out of Bosnia and Somalia, and that's a mess. I support the troops 100%. Unfortunately, when the Vietnam era was going on, we did not get that type of support. And I'm just concerned, is the president think he's the king of the United States or the president of the United States? And I support the troops, obviously. I think everybody does. But we've got to have some type of plan. And I haven't heard a plan, and I'm concerned. What's the plan? Where is it? I haven't heard it.
Yeah. What is the plan, Professor?
Well, that's the surge strategy is kind of a remake of past strategies, and whether or not this is going to work. To me, the surge suggests that the strategy we were following the first 3-4 years was faulty. It's frankly an acknowledgment that we did not have enough troops there. Whether they're going to be doing something substantially different, Joy, will things change? I really think that this has to do with the public and the government in Iraq. They are the ones that have to take on their role. We have sort of run out of time, and the strategies we are using to pacify the place simply have not worked very effectively. And Congress, I think, and anybody involved with military cannot be particularly encouraged by it. But, hope springs eternal.
Yeah. And remind us with this supplemental funding bill, whether or not with this, the veto and the compromise and the negotiations, is this delay going to hurt the troops in that they're not going to get funding, necessary funding that is needed at least for the short term?
I think, Joy, you can predict that the troops will not be hurt by this. Congress is not going to let that happen, and frankly, I don't think the president is going to let it happen. I think that at some point, by the way, this is an emergency war funding. It's intended basically to provide a sense of emergency and urgency to the whole thing. The Congress has said this is the last one like this. They're not going to do it anymore. They want this part of the regular budget. The implication is that the Iraq war is going to be funded in a normal way. But Congress will pass at some point a supplementary appropriation, emergency funding of around $100 billion to continue this war. I suspect that some of the parts, the so-called, there'll be some benchmarks involved in it, provide greater accountability with the Iraq government. I think some of the pork will be taken out of this bill, maybe not all of it, but I think some of the elements will remain in there because I think you have to have that in order to get it passed through the Congress.
Let me go to CJ in Madison. Hi, CJ.
Good morning. Say, I believe the Democrats unanimously voted for Petraeus and then won't give him the funds that he needs to do his job. Harry Reid, with his statement, "The war is lost," actually feeds our enemies, and I believe the Democrats are playing politics with our troops. I believe Harry Reid should resign for his statement. And to tell you the truth, I think if the Democrats take a look at what and who they voted for in the last election, their candidate John Kerry stated, as far as Iraq, whatever the cost in lives and money, was his statement from his electoral podium. So Democrats really need to take a look at what John Kerry said, whatever the cost in lives and money to be a success in Iraq. And the Democrats are not giving General Petraeus what they voted for.
Yeah. Are the Democrats playing politics with our troops, Professor Heim? CJ, we're almost out of time.
There's a certain amount of politics in this, and frankly, I think Congress has to fund the troops. They voted for Petraeus, and I think they realize that they've got to give him what he needs. I really think that Harry Reid is simply doing a lot of these statements reflecting his constituency, but reflecting, frankly, a stance of negotiating with the White House.
Yeah, putting the Democrats in more of a position of power to get this compromise that you think will happen.
Yes, I just think at some point they're going to be meeting somewhere in the middle. It's going to probably take a fair amount of time to do this, Joy, but the troops will be funded. There's no question about that. I don't think Congress wants to be in a position of looking like they're not. And I think the president's going to recognize that that at some point you have to deal with Congress as well. They're not going to simply give in. They have their role to play here as well.
Well, as always, Professor Heim, it's been a pleasure. Thanks very much for being with us.
Thank you, Joy.
Professor Joe Heim, a professor of political science at UW La Crosse. And again, we'll talk more about this issue tomorrow morning between 6 and 7 when we release the results of our Wisconsin Public Radio St. Norbert College Survey Center poll on this question, on what approach we support, what Congress is saying or what the president is saying. Thanks very much to Leo Duran and to Karen Prager for producing this hour. Thank you for listening and for calling in. All of our talk shows are archived on our website if you would like to listen to them again or catch one that you missed, wpr.org. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio.